listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. we pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Today is Juneteenth Day, June 19th. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, will do, can do, and I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. And I hope that you get a chance to do some type of recognition, some type of observance, some type of meditation or feeling about this day, June 19th. I'm going to talk about it in some depth. And, of course, you're always welcome to join me at 414-324-5796. That's my number. Yeah. But you can call me, 414-324-5796. But no, I want you to dial into the program, which is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, I ain't going to tell you to go to the website because Brother Kwaku ain't got it up yet, but we're going to do it. It's on the way. So I ain't going to say go do that, but you can still do that because there's other stuff on the website on timeforanawakening.com. And you definitely need to explore that. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media, immediately following my program on Monday and Wednesday, is the Black People Matrix. 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. The Black People Matrix with my good brother and friend, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, Mondays and Wednesdays from 1 to 3. Today is not a live program. Brother Kwaku is handling his program today as well. So he's going to pre-record a program today. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Blessed by Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. I listened to a portion of Doc Rogers' program last night. It was a good program, Doc. Very good program. Good information. Doc Rogers. Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 with Black Reality Think Tank on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, this evening, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy, 7 p.m. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, brothers and sisters, you know what time it is. That's right. It is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's right. You know it ain't me because it is Sister POC and her program, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. until it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Other promotions here on African Perspective is We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. In fact, you can get everything you need from American African owned businesses on WeBuyBlack.com. Go check them out. And if you're in the Atlanta area, as I always say, go to the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall where you can pick up the laundry detergent, the batteries, the toothpaste, the toothbrushes, the razors, all other stuff that they have, lotions, creams, deodorants, all kinds of good stuff right there, brothers and sisters, at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tahemba, 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. And he just came back from Ghana. I'm quite sure that trip is on the Facebook page with beautiful pictures of his trip to Ghana. And it's facebook.com/Bomani. And I'm quite sure there's some video of the trip, which is youtube.com/Bomani2007, where you can check out video. He is going to Africa in November 22nd to December 2nd, going to South Africa, Cape Town, and Johannesburg. And then at the end of December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020, he is going back to Ghana. So these two trips you could take advantage of if you contact him. That's right, 404-931-9429, or just go on his website, africafortheafricans.org, africafortheafricans.org. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End here in Atlanta. The number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. And, of course, the store hours are Wednesday through Saturday, 12 noon to 7 p.m., Sunday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And of course, they have everything you need. They got furniture, they got clothing, they got artwork, artifacts, art paintings, and you name it. Books, they have books. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have Kwanzaa kits, everything you need at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. They have a class, Know Thyself, the African history class, Know Thyself. It's open every Saturday, free and open to the public, 1:30 to 3:30. 1:30 to 3:30 every Saturday. Brother Olatunji, an outstanding job instructing that class. But if you cannot attend the class, but you like the information, they do have a multimedia library that you can get. That's right, it's the most extensive cultural library of its kind. It has over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. Brothers and sisters, it is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment at your disposal, at your fingertips, and you've got it in your hand. Another bookstore that we promote here is the Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right? The We Buy Black kiosk is right next to the Medu Bookstore. So if you are by the We Buy Black kiosk and you look right there, bam, there's the Medu Bookstore. Go in there and check out some books. And they got postcards, greeting cards, gifts, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore. And it's open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9. And on Sundays from 12 to 6 in the Greenbrier Mall. The number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore. The other bookstore I promote here is, of course, is the Black Dot. My good brother, Kazimde Ajamu, the owner and proprietor of the Black Dot Bookstore, Cultural Center Bookstore, located in Lithonia. Number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. They also have the red, black, and green shoes. That's right. The NASGAS shoes. I got the white ones, y'all. They cold. People be like, Mom, where'd you get those at? So I was walking around Juneteenth Day here in Atlanta. I had my white ones on, and I had my Make Africa Home Again hat that looks like the Trump bull. It looked like the mega hat of Trump. That was the intent. But so when you see it and you say make, and you see again, but you don't see the two words in between, and you think make, make. Just like now his new thing is, what was this thing last night? He kicked off his campaign. He said, keep America great. I don't give a damn what the hell he or anybody else in this country says about the greatness of this country. This country has never and never will be great. This has been an evil country since its inception, of what it has done to human beings? No, you can't be great doing that. No. Anyway, us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. And of course, every Thursday night at 9 p.m., there's the Ulu Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 at 9 o'clock, about an hour-long broadcast. Brother, please, get a chance tomorrow night. You ain't doing nothing. Just lay back. Pick up the phone, dial 921-929-477-2789. And if you want to make a comment, hit 1, and then you'll be in the queue, and you can make your comment as it relates to us lifting us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or once again, as we like to say, family-centered economics. In fact, we pulled our monies together and we created Cafe Ulu here in Atlanta. Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road, and we're open Tuesday through Friday, 6:30. Is it 6 o'clock? I don't know. I got to get those times. I apologize again. But I know Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And, of course, we have coffee at Cafe Ulu. That's the main thing that we push and promote. And I was hoping that brothers and sisters would be able to say, bump Starbucks and all those other places. We're going to go to Cafe Ulu. They have African coffee. They have Cameroon Boyo. They have Tanzanian. They have Kenyan. They have Ethiopian. And a wide variety of other coffees from other places. They have loose teas. And everything that is at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Everything. That's why it's us lifting us. Go online. Go online to cafeulu.com. usliftingus.com and check it out. One thing, too, that we have at Cafe Ulu is the vitality drink, Ambrosia, by the Novak Young's vitality drink that is made with alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll. Also, hibiscus, cinnamon, ginger, yes, and aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. So, that's that, and I got to talk about some things that you should be aware of and go online to check out, and that is Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute, make a check out to Brother Baba Baruti and Yabaruti at Akabin Institute and the work that they're doing at P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to do the Cash App thing or PayPal thing, you can do that. $YAAM Baruti, B-A-R. UTI, and make your donations to Akabin Village, paypal.me/Akabin Village. Anyway, there's a number of ways that you can contribute and wish that you would, because that's what we need to happen. We need brothers and sisters to support the things that we do. Believe me. I'm also mentioning Sister Gabby, Sister Gabrielle Ariel, and Sister Ariel. She has Sanjay-Haiti.org. She is doing phenomenal work in the northeast region of Haiti, in the rural area, which is always neglected. A lot of times, no electricity, running water, and so forth. And she is doing some things that are phenomenal. So please go online, check her out. Please make a donation. Please do some things that are positive to so that work can continue. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Check them out, okay? Do that, brothers and sisters. We appreciate that. We know we would. Inye Sesim on revolutionary, daily revolutionary thought. The Inye Sesim. June 18th. Until we break the monopoly that the oppressor has on our minds, liberation is not only impossible, it is unthinkable. For one is not likely to achieve what one cannot even conceive. Malana Karinga. Until we break the monopoly that the oppressor has on our minds, our minds. Liberation is not only impossible, it is even unthinkable. For one is not likely to achieve what one cannot even conceive. We can't even visualize that. Sometimes warriors intent on being African feel that they are in a battle for their sanity against themselves. That voice and that video projector in their heads seem to be on autopilot, determined to force them into embracing non-African thoughts and images. At times, it can be the most demoralizing, having to spend so much energy fighting against an insanity-driven rogue mind. Even worse, we are progressively becoming more African-centered. This mind becomes more determined and disrespectful, like a bad habit clinging desperately to its formerly compliment host. Seasoned warriors tell us to take this desperation as a sign of impending doom for this wayward consciousness. Those disturbances to your African peace will begin to dramatically decrease with every focused effort to make or to wane yourself of European sanity. Do not fault yourself with the difficulty. Recognize that to some degree, all warriors are recovering addicts whose minds were held captive by the drug of European insanity. And with their dealers all around, it is a habit hard to fully break. However, with creative knowledge, of curative knowledge of self, and sufficient doses of revolutionary awareness in time, the distractions will cease. You will again be free within yourself. Affirm, I am not disarmed or distracted by the lure of insanity. Affirm, I am not disarmed or distracted by the lure of insanity. Brothers and sisters, let me say this to you. We all have this internal mental, emotional, spiritual battle every day because you are bombarded every damn day, 24/7, 365. Attacks on your Africanness, attacks on your sanity to be who we are. Brothers and sisters, I did not come to the point where I am very easily, believe me. But damn it, I'm here. And I will tell a Caucasian right away. In fact, I don't even want to talk about nothing with Caucasians. I really don't. If confronted, I'll bust them in the ass. And that's just how I feel because I'm at a stage of my life and I understand the situation that my people are in globally, on the continent, throughout the diaspora. So, you know, I think I know I'm a nice person. I know I'm a respectable person. But believe me, all of that is to the side when it comes to what is happening to African people. I'm a staunch advocate, promoter, warrior for the liberation and self-determination and sovereignty for African people. Juneteenth Day, June 19th. As an African person, I call upon the spirit and the wisdom of our ancestors and cosmic forces of truth and justice to be with us, to strengthen our sense of responsibility to help us to recapture our minds, to restore the knowledge and the love of self, to learn, to study, to create, to build, to plan, and to work together for our survival as individuals and as a community. Fanny Clark. We are nothing without our ancestors. We are the culmination of all those who came before us who make up our lineage. No truth is more fundamental to African sense of self, community, and nation than this. Africans understand themselves as spiritual beings first and physical entities second. We measure our worth and our essence from that which comprise our highest state of existence, the spiritual self. Hori Maket, which the Greeks call the Sphinx, symbolizes this human transformation, spiritual supremacy rising out of ignorance and ruled by physical appetites. It represents the power of human discipline in overcoming base temptations, in understanding that temptations were there to challenge you into a deeper moral consciousness and a higher spiritual existence. Every step toward a knowledge of our spiritual self is an elevation. If we look at our ancestors' spiritual development, we have no choice but to assess the current rule of body over mind has an atrophic degeneration. Affirm, I measure my worth and essence from that which conspires my highest state of existence, my spiritual self. Affirm, I measure my worth and my essence from that which comprise my highest state of existence and spiritual development. You know, I was in a conversation Monday, and I just told the sister, I said, you know, because she was speaking, you know, spiritually. And I said, you know, Menelik of Ethiopia, when the Europeans started coming at him, and he was trying to come from a spiritual, moral nature, then realizing that these people are anti-spirit. They don't believe. They have no kind. No, we got to get some guns. We got to get some guns. Now, if it is possible for us to seriously go into deep spiritual meditation and conjure up the spirits of our ancestors, those warrior ancestors like Duty Bookman, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, Nat Turner, all those who are willing to fight, that's one thing. But when you look at the situation today, you know, I'm saying, yes, I am. I understand the spirituality. But one thing I understand clearly is the physical existence at this moment in time. And if we don't do something, then our physical existence will be a memory. Our physical existence will be on the trash heap of history. Because these Caucasians, these Europeans, are not playing. They recognize their situation, their deficiencies. They're not having children. They recognize their numbers are constantly dwindling. One thing is for sure, they may talk about majority rule. They don't believe in that because the bottom line, they've never been a majority. They're a majority in this country by what they have done because of murder, because of displacement, because of intimidation and so forth. Yeah. But they realize there's other places where we've gone and taken. We weren't the majority, but we rule anyways because that's who we are. Because to them, might makes right, as opposed to our upbringing as African people, where right made right, and you were held to standards of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, it is June 19th, Juneteenth Day, and I know in Milwaukee they're about to have the parade. Well, they probably the parade already over at 10:30 in Milwaukee, so the parade might be over, but I'm quite sure, hopefully it's a beautiful day. Hope the sun is shining. Hope they're having fun wherever they is, you know. Well, it's on the chilly side. And it's overcast. It's cloudy and overcast. And the high for the day is only 57. Sorry, y'all. Sorry, Milwaukee. Oh, well. But enjoy the day anyways. You got to, you know, take your jacket out there, and hopefully it doesn't rain. It's overcast. You ain't got to worry about that. You know, walk up and down MLK Drive. Used to be 3rd Street. You know, Milwaukee has been celebrating Juneteenth Day since 1971. On the day. I can remember the Juneteenth Day started just as if it was yesterday. Started by Sister Margaret Henningsen, who later opened up a bank with some other sisters, Bob Lanier's ex-wife, Shirley Lanier, one of them. Sims, beautiful sisters. Unfortunately, the bank because of the Blair problems of 2008 and 2000 before, that's what happened. You know, I got a caller 404. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Hotel.
Hotel, Sister Queen, how you doing? How you been? Ain't heard from you in a while. You been doing okay?
Yes, I have. Good. Still standing. All right. Happy Juneteenth.
All right. Thank you, dear. Yeah.
Yes, to all of us. Just calling to listen in.
Good. Thank you.
My support.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
And all the time. I'm still there, whether I'm dialing or not.
That's right. I feel your presence, Queen, so I appreciate that. So hang on me. Finish running my mouth about Juneteenth Day, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about reparations and all kind of good stuff. So any time that you want to, you know, come in, if I put you on hold, just call back, okay? Know that you want to talk, okay?
Not a problem. Not a problem at all. Could you still stand and stay strong? Beloved, stay strong, my brother.
Thank you, sister. Queen Ali, I love you. Peace. So getting back to what I'm saying about about Juneteenth, you know, we in Milwaukee, they started in 1971, and I remember it staying not even when it got dark. Well, of course, now Juneteenth, and it has been for 20-some years, because I'm talking about 1971, which, of course, is 48 years ago. That's right. And Milwaukee's been celebrating it in that sense. But I'd say for the last 20 to 30 years, it's down at sundown. In fact, even before then, because I think today it closes, they close the streets down at 6 o'clock. I would hope that they don't have cats on, police on roofs and police on army, because it creates such a bad atmosphere. And in fact, the last Juneteenth Day I had just such a funky atmosphere. In fact, somebody did something, one of the cops, Caucasians, just almost pushed me over, almost fell over with him and his bike pushing me, man, anyway, over some BS. It wasn't nothing. But once again, the mentality of the police departments across this country today is why you see it constantly cussing and brutalizing, kicking, punching, threatening, actually killing, because the training is them versus us. Them versus us. That's the mentality. It's never really been in our community, protect and serve, you know. But it's always been comply or die. Comply or die. On the website, nationaljuneteenth.com, Dr. Reverend Ron Myers, who passed a few years ago, and he, when did he pass? Oh, 2018, last year. Wow. Okay. Last year. And he has been pushing and promoting a national observance of Juneteenth, hoping that Obama would make it. But understand, Obama is not the dictator. I bet you if Trump wanted to do something like that, they still do it. It's crazy, isn't it? It is crazy. But the Congress wouldn't do it, particularly the Congress in his second half, because he didn't have control of the Congress. He came in with control of the Congress and the Senate. He came in, you know. And then, of course, he lost it. And believe me, just like the other day when we talked about reparations, because there's going to be a debate or discussion on reparations. A number of entities are going to be discussing it. National Coalitions for Blacks for Reparations in America in COBRA, which they meet this month. And I understand that ADOS, American Descendants of, you know, they're going to the convention, from what I understand, you know, to make a presentation, I guess. I don't know. But the bottom line is this issue of reparations is very important. And we'll talk about that after the second hour. But brother, he really wanted to make reparations, excuse me, make Juneteenth Day a national holiday. And so, when Reverend Dr. Ron Myers was going around the country promoting Juneteenth Day and the idea of Juneteenth. Now, understand something. In the history of Juneteenth, I always made a crack about it because the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1862 to take effect January 1st, 1863. That's where you get the folks who go to church on New Year's Eve, the watchmen. See? That's why, that's what happens with that. That's what happened with that. That's how that evolved. January 1st of 1863, the people went to church and realized that that day, 12 a.m., January 1st, our captivity physically was ended. But there were many, because of hit and miss communications, of course, at the time. They didn't have no phones. They didn't have no social media. You know, snail mail with probably the Pony Express. And so a lot of people didn't get it. But there also, too, were Caucasians who had wealth because they had a lot of people in captivity. Went west. Went into Texas. Many of them. In fact, by the time Granger went into Texas, 2.5 years later, June 19th of 1865, after the first time it was January 1st of 1863, 2.5 years later, there were over 250,000 of our people in captivity in Texas. And Granger read the field notice or whatever it is in Galveston, Texas, stating that from henceforth, this day, da-da-da-da, no one is in physical captivity no longer. And, of course, because of that, people wanted to celebrate. Got a great piece here on the website with Milwaukee, with Reverend Myers, and the governor at the time, Doyle, Democratic governor, my good brother and my good friend, Mac Weddle, who from his organization, Northcott Neighborhood House, Juneteenth came about because of Margaret Henningsen, Jan Kemp, who was the director at Northcott, and Joe Winston. They started Juneteenth Day in Milwaukee, 1971. And they've celebrated on that day ever since. Whatever that day falls on, whatever that day, whether it's Father's Day, whether it's Sunday, whether it's Monday, whatever it is, the celebration, the street festival celebration of Juneteenth. Like I said, I remember, you know, it not closing down till late at night. But then, of course, about 30-some years ago, because it's 48 years, they started closing it down, and I remember some ugly times. Because of a police chief that we had here, that they had there in Milwaukee, who was on a par with Bull Connor. In fact, he looked like Bull Connor in Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama. But his mindset was just as evil and just as bad. Because Milwaukee is one of the most segregated cities in the country. And he used to say, I don't want them the corrupting, bringing these bad people against the good people of the South Side. For real, I'm telling you. Yeah. And so he had his guys walk down the street in Gestapo style. I ain't BSing. They were walking down the street with riot gear on, batons in hand. All we were doing is celebrating Juneteenth. And they were doing this to close it down exactly at that time. So damn disrespectful. Coming in with the horses and so forth. I tell you. And then later they'd been on rooftops. And like I said, with the bikes, the cat almost pushed me over. So there's my good brother, Brother Mac Weddle, along with State Senator, then State Senator Spencer Coggs, and Tamara Grigsby, who was a
state rep, you know, they're signing the bill to make Juneteenth Day a holiday, a legal holiday. Governor Doyle signed a bill into law, Senate Bill 170, a bill that designates June 19th, Juneteenth Day, as a legal holiday. The governor will be joined by the Reverend Ronald Myers, National Chair of Juneteenth Day, and Mac Weddle, the Executive Director of Northcott Neighborhood House and local president of Juneteenth Day, for the signing at Northcott Neighborhood House Center. And my brother Mac, I love him, believe me, I do. Milwaukee has long celebrated Juneteenth Day, and I'm proud that Wisconsin is moving forward to recognize this important holiday across the state, Doyle said. Juneteenth marks the historic milestone in our nation's history and celebrates the freedom that unites all Americans. Yeah, right. Senate Bill 170 makes Juneteenth Day, June 19th, an official holiday. Juneteenth is the oldest known celebration commemorating the end of our captivity, June 19, 1865. Captives in Texas first received word that all captives in the U.S. had been freed by Lincoln. Milwaukee first celebrated Juneteenth Day, 1971, and the annual event continues today. Governor thanks Senator Lena Taylor, my good sister Lena Taylor. She's a warrior. Senator Spencer Coggs, State Representative Tamara Grisby, and that no good dude, Leon Young, he ain't never did a damn thing. Leon Young, he's no longer a state rep anymore either, but. At the event, Doyle also signed into law. Well, I ain't going to go through that because that ain't about nothing. Juneteenth Day. And so I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, wherever you are, make Juneteenth Day. Sister Ali, 404, you want to say something, dear?
No, sir. I just had to call back in.
Okay. Well, hang on then, okay? I appreciate it.
No problem. Yes.
Because we can do that, you know? People can call in. I can just have them hang on. They don't have to say anything. You can just dial 215-490-9832. If you don't have TuneIn on your phone or other mobile devices, or if you're not on a computer, go to online, just go to timeforanawakening.com. And that's all it takes. Timeforanawakening.com. So, the other thing that is in conjunction with Juneteenth Day is the issue of reparations. The issue of reparations. Juneteenth Day is in May, the NCOBRA convention to deal with reparations. In June, and the NCOBRA convention is going to be in Detroit. It's going to be in June. I think it's next week. Yeah. And what's interesting about that, there's always going to be a push for reparations. I hate the fact that it has been muddled. I hate the fact that we don't understand for the issue of reparations. We can't get it because we're fragmented. I would hate to get it. And I've mentioned this many times that the editorialist, Charles Cutheimer, many years ago wrote an article about give them reparations. What he was saying was because of the mindset that they have, we don't gave them affirmative action. We don't gave them welfare. We don't give them all these old social programs. Give them reparations because we'll get the money back within a small length of time because of their mind. They'll be having reparation sales, be buying Cadillacs and clothes, and they ain't gonna do nothing. They ain't gonna pull the money together and build institutions. No. So give them reparations, and once we have done that, they'll shut the hell up because we done did everything. And it ain't going to be no class actions. If you got an issue, the onus is on you. And if you don't have anything or anybody to corroborate what has happened to you, you SOL. And that's how, you know, but that's real. Just like, I don't know if you saw ugly ass Mitch McConnell, touche turtle looking ass.
Well, we, you know, we elected Obama.
I ain't lying. He said, we elected Obama. You know, we always got tough times in America, but we, you know, no. Let me say this, and you know this. You know this. Caucasians would not stand for what happened to us to happen to them. You have to understand the evolutionary development of Europeans. They are Neanderthal because they mutated. They're African. Damn it. They came out of Africa. They got cut off by an ice age. They mutated. They changed themselves from a slender, tall, slender, dark-skinned body with close curl hair, broad nose, and thick lips to a short, stocky body with hair all over themselves. They mutated. And that environment was so damn harsh and so unforgiving, made them selfish, evil, and greedy. They see somebody with a kill, they go sneak up behind them and bump them on top of their head and kill them and take their kill. They see a woman bop her upside the head, drag her into the cave. That's why the women had to acquiesce in that environment. They had to take it. That's why understand the culture that was created because of that environment. European culture is war culture. European culture is rape culture. We are dealing with an evil people, y'all. So that's why reparations as an issue will only come about when we are strong. And reparations is not about somebody. I understand there have been some brothers and sisters who have lived in poverty for generations and deserved to get a little change and to change their conditions. But it's deeper than that. It ain't about money in this damn society. It's about the institutions we can build to repair ourselves. That's what reparations need to repair. And we need to repair ourselves. I picked this up out of C-SPAN for Millions for Reparations that happened in, 2000 in Washington, D.C. A member of that coalition, I was involved with the National Black United Front. Some good people. I went to some of the meetings that we were having across the country. And, of course, some of the dynamic people who were involved. But one person who I've grown to have a lot of love and respect for, and that is Brother Ken Bridges of the Mati Network. He was killed. He was murdered by the D.C. sniper. The D.C. sniper, if you remember that from many years ago, where he would pick out people on the highway at various places. Brother Bridges was on his way to another meeting. He was supposed to have gone back to Philadelphia, where he was from, on his way to another meeting in the in that area, and he was at a service station, and he was murdered. What a beautiful man. I want you to hear Brother Bridges talk about reparations, talk about the internal repair for reparations. He's being interviewed. He is being introduced by Sister Bev Smith, formerly of BET.
Black power. Are we family? You all ain't acting like family today. It's a hot day. They said we couldn't be here. You are here. You came to the center. You are here. Take a moment to give yourselves a hand for just being here. Brother Ken Bridges from Mata, please come.
Well, thank you, my sister, and thank you, Viola, for having a sister introduce me. Brothers and sisters, we've been talking about reparations today, and we're excited about reparations. It is owed us. It is due. There was a crime against humanity called slavery, and reparations is due.
But in a conversation that we had with Dr. Conrad Wuerl back in January, when we were talking about the Mata Network, a black channel of distribution, linking up black people that are spending money with black people that are making goods and services and working to get our $600 billion that are in black hands to stay in black hands longer, when Conrad heard what Mata was about, he said, "My brother Ken, what you are talking about is a form of reparations that we have not talked a lot about, my brother." But he said it's a form of reparations that's called internal reparations. Conrad went on to say, he said, "Brother, this concept of internal reparations comes initially from 1993, the first Pan-African Conference on Reparations. And Dr. Chinwezu, Professor Chinwezu in Nigeria, coined the term internal repair. Dr. Chinwezu said that reparations is not mostly about money. Chinwezu said that reparations is mostly about internal repair. Repair of ourselves spiritually, brothers and sisters, mentally, brothers and sisters, economically, brothers and sisters, internal repair." Chinwezu went on to say, and Dr. Wuerl coining the term internal reparations embraced it fully by simply saying that internal reparations is what we can do for ourselves. External reparations is what others must do for us, they owe us. But brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. These two efforts must be simultaneous. We must demand reparations because it is due us from them. They owe us, no question about it. But brothers and sisters, I want you to think about this for a moment. We owe ourselves. Do you feel me? We owe ourselves internal reparations. We don't have to ask anybody for it. We don't have to beg anybody for it. We don't have to plead anybody to give it to us. We simply must do two things. We've got to love ourselves more and love our race more, and then we will look inside and do for ourselves. Are you feeling me? Brothers and sisters, we have to keep the pressure on for internal and external reparations. Today is a very different sort of a march, though. See, today, Viola Plummer, Sister Viola Plummer, and Dr. Conrad Wuerl said that today was going to be a day that we focused on action. Oh, yes, we must talk. We must rap and we must clap. But brothers and sisters, we got to take one more step. You see, we got to take action. Now, Mata has come with a map. It's a basic map. It's a Mata action plan for internal reparations. We're not by ourselves on this internal reparations, and COBRA is at the forefront of internal reparations and external reparations. NBUF is then involved in internal and external reparations. D12, we're in this with the UNIA, the New Black Panther Party. We're together and united in the fact that we must get external reparations, but brothers and sisters, we are responsible for internal reparations. I direct you to an action step very quickly. There are brothers and sisters that have Mata t-shirt on just like I have on. Mata is a people, it's a movement, and it's a business. The people are African people, people of African descent who know that we must give and buy black. It's a movement organizing those people to be able to be involved in a business that's a black channel of distribution where our goods and services that we spend for everyday consumption, we must bring that into the black. It is not any way sensible for us to give 95% of our dollars away. So we simply say this: if we got external reparations tomorrow, and tomorrow was Sunday, if we don't turn around and give ourselves internal reparations, we will give the benefit of that external reparations right back by Tuesday or Wednesday. Are you feeling me? And I'm simply saying to you that our reparations is not going to be wasted. Our ancestors have given too much, done too much. Marcus Garvey has told us we got to think black, be black, buy black, and everything else will take care of itself. Make sure, brothers and sisters, that you get with one of these Mata brothers or sisters, get information from them so you can get involved in an action plan. I'm talking about what are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do next week? I'm saying that this is great today, but it would be a failure, brothers and sisters, if we don't take another step after today. Are you feeling me? I want you to get over to that Mata booth. It's over there with a beautiful yellow sign, Mata to canopy to my right. Just directly to my right, there are brothers and sisters in the community, in the audience, looking for you to share information with you. But let's make sure that we don't end our reparations fight today. It goes on and on and on, and it can only do that with an action plan. I say to you, internal reparations, external reparations, it's due. Internal, we owe ourselves. Think black, be black, buy black. Thank you very much.
That was my good brother, Brother Ken Bridges. miss him tremendously for the work as he has done. And, wow, he was a beautiful brother, good father, good husband, a model. Man, when that cat did that, I was like, wow. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, more on Juneteenth Day, more on reparations, more discussion on other issues. And, of course, you can join the discussion by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay right here with us. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
That was hot. All right, this next poet is from our hometown. He describes himself as a ritual poet, combining elements of drama, chant, and ritual into his work. Ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, I'm proud and honored to present Sekou Sundiata.
Hotter up here than I expected. Thank you. I think all the other poets raised the temperature. Come on and bring on the reparations. Oh, master of the perfect word universe, trichnological forked tongue, riddle me this. If the Chinese can come from China and the French can come from France, what made you think you could get niggas out of Africa in the first place? Just because you put puppies in the oven, that don't make them biscuits. Right. Reparations on GP. Come on and bring on the reparations. For all the unrequited home runs, brothers be burning up the bases, the crowd be going mad, brothers be crossing over home plate, go outside and can't get a cab. For little Richard teaching the Beatles how to scream like Aunt Jemima without their pancakes. And all the other dark and unknown rockers electrified, the Republic sanctified, shaking that Cold War out the booty body politic. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the beat in beatnik, white Negroes and such, getting off up under that great music in them little ass five spots. For the jazz in the jazz age, making your women wiggle and squirm, and you trying to twist and do the worm. Your abstract expressionism jism dripping. You might say, if I was you, I would go on the road and howl too. Jimmy Dean and Elvis, they can go to wherever they went. Marilyn too, except she got caught in a trick and got bent out of that cute little shape she had going. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the Birmingham Gospels, four little girls come Sunday. For the Jesus remix in those redneck streets, fire hose, mad dog, crucifix. And what exactly did you say you was doing at the time of our soft shoe on the rock of edges? For the privilege in your skin, a wounded knee, a trail of tears for the Indian in us. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the spook with the metal detector sitting by your door. Open just enough, probably a moon full of cocaine on the table. Monica on her knees doing secret service. You humming mum under wraps. And what about all those flags we so proudly hailed? Marvin Gaye singing, oh, say, can you see? Wearing shades like mirrors at the All-Star game so you can reflect yourself, relaxed and feeling good. The dark looker doing his looking like he was blind, bearing witness to the whiteness of whiteness, pretending you was the only one who could see. 'Tis after all about thee, just like you like it. Mercy, mercy me, and so on and so forth. For the missing royalty checks, and so on and so forth. For VD and Tuskegee called syphilis, and so on and so forth. Think of it. Think of it as a down payment on the interest compounded. Them 40 acres notwithstanding. That mule notwithstanding. Multiplied, quantized, digitized. What to say about forgiveness between you, huh? And your God. Come on and bring on the reparations.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and other programming that we have here on Time for Awakening Media. Immediately following my program on Monday and Wednesdays is the Black People Matrix from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., the Black People Matrix with my good brother and friend, Brother Franklin Jones. Other programming on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Black Reality Think Tank on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then Time for an Awakening on Friday. If it's Friday at 8 p.m., that's right, brothers and sisters. It is Time for an Awakening. And then on Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Sunday, once again, it's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're here today. Today is Juneteenth Day. That's when the brothers and sisters got the message in Texas, in Galveston, Texas. The Caucasians got 2.5 more years of free labor out of our brothers and sisters. Because remember, I stated that January 1st, the emancipation was signed, I think in September of 62. So everybody was looking for January 1st of 1863. And then, of course, some of the Caucasians left out of the South, went straight west into Texas, maybe out of Alabama or Mississippi or whatever, even Georgia, and took those brothers who they had made captive with them and sisters, and then worked them another 2.5 more years. You know we owe reparations. Got a caller, 267, 267.
Hey, good morning, Brother Oshie. How are you?
Hey, Ralph. How you doing, man?
I'm just happy to, have a good live broadcast this morning, but I'm doing fine, Brother Oshie.
Right on, man. Yeah, you look like you were putting up some good jumpers, man. I tell you, you're looking good.
Look, you know what? I told all them brothers last night, I said, look, we over 50.
I'm here.
If we run down the court and back up it, we all winners.
That's for sure, you know, brother. I mean? That's for sure. Yeah. Y'all can get them down there a few times, y'all winners for sure. Yeah,
if we run them down the court a couple of times, we all winners.
That's for sure.
But I grabbed me some rebounds, man. I ain't scored that much, But
played good D.
I had 4 points. I'm going to let you know. I had 4 points. I had one mid-range jumpy and
a putback.
And I banked one in.
Okay, yeah, and a putback.
Yeah.
But
anyway, brother, and you know what, at 60, I got to pat myself on the back.
That's for sure.
You know what I mean?
That's for sure.
I played about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But you know what, Brother Oshie, what I wanted to, Juneteenth, and, I don't celebrate it. And I'm going to give you my reason.
Sure. I understand.
And I bet you Brother Scotty Reed would agree with me. Slavery ain't never end.
Okay.
Slavery ain't never
right.
end. So the brothers and sisters of Galveston, Texas, they just heard about the physical chains being dropped off,
right?
But the mental ones are still there. Like like the one Jewish fellow you was just talking about. I'm gonna pull over when he talking about giving us reparations.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Man, I've been saying that for years,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a content. Now people say that I host On Time for Awakening, and he says I demonize our folks. No, I'm speaking reality, Brother Oshie. If they gave us each reparations a day, you'll see more Escalades, more Jordans,
yeah,
more Rolexes.
Yeah.
More. You will see this, Brother Oshie.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Instead of us building our own institutions,
mm-hmm.
building a business structure for it, no, we were going to go. We're going to have more. One guy told me he wanted to get a Maserati. I said, well, wait a minute. Cars nothing but to get you from point A to point B. Why you want a Maserati? It's just something nice and I want it.
Yeah.
You know, say like, oh, all right, so go in debt and get yourself a Maserati then. You know? But I've been saying that for years. We and like me and Brother Elliot was talking on Sunday and I put the focus on us. I mean, mm-hmm. we know who the other Mitch McConnell already told. Now, somebody posted that.
about Mitch McConnell said he doesn't agree with giving us reparations.
Right.
Know? And, you know, well, that's obvious. He doesn't. He don't want to do nothing for us.
No, but Ralph, that's the majority of Caucasians. The vast majority of Caucasians don't agree with giving us nothing. In fact, there's a good segment of that vast majority who believe we should be thanking them for putting us in enslavement because it exposed us to Western ideas and concepts, democracy and all that kind of stuff, and provided us. In fact, when they say, go look at Africa, aren't you better off here? Look at other parts of the world. You should be thankful you're here.
I hate to inform you, and that's why I don't even look at that guy no more. He's not going to change. He's never going to change. I don't even focus on him. I don't embrace our victimhood. But what I do, I turn that what's going wrong on us so we can overcome these things. Now, you've got a couple of political leaders that believe the same way.
Sure.
When I used to go to the Christian church, they used to say that they had a white lady come up in our church and said, you ought to thank us for bringing y'all here getting y'all away from them idols and this.
Yep.
Man, this concept is believed by us.
That's right.
So forget what they say.
That's right.
It's us that we got to deal with and overcome.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why it's not demonizing, brother. I'm just giving you a little bit of reality, brother. You know, this, and you know for a fact I'm giving you reality. Sometimes the reality pill is hard
to swallow. It is.
It's hard to swallow.
Well, I think you should chew it first.
Back against it.
I think you should chew it first, okay? Because it is hard to swallow.
It's hard to swallow.
Yeah, we can't.
And it was hard for me to swallow. Just like when Mitch McConnell said, well, why should we give him reparation? I mean, we gave him Obama. And there's a lot of fools out there that still worship that clown.
Yep.
You know?
Sure do. Sure do.
So, you know, so the emphasis, I'm going to say it again until we finally get it. What we need is a code of ethics. And Elliot gave you a great example of a ethics when, you know, when this country was saying, like, how crazy Kim Jong-un is by killing his own family, this, that, and the other. Well, his own family was CIA operatives.
Yeah.
So Kim Jong-un was practicing a code of ethics.
Right.
Like, you here to cause us harm?
That's right. You gotta go.
I don't care if you blood or not.
That's
you
right.
You gotta go.
I don't
care if you blood or not. Mm-hmm. You got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we embrace our clowns.
Yeah.
We embrace them. I mean, Obama was the biggest disgrace that I ever. That showed me how gullible and how fragile minded we really are when we just love this guy. Because I'm going to tell you, man, during this presidential election coming up, and I don't care who don't like it, you know, they got Joe Biden, who's a racist to the core. He actually talked about Strom Thurmond at his funeral like he was the second coming of the so-called Jesus. So, you know, this is Joe Biden that our people are busy trying to rally behind because they just don't have a problem with Trump. Right. And I listen to Brother Jay a lot, and Brother Jay got a point. What did Trump do to us that make us want to go against him so much? Yeah, he let us know that he's old racist, but so was Hillary. So was Obama.
Right, so they are.
I mean, if you want to be for real, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did this man do? He said he's going to get rid of all the illegal immigrants that's taking jobs and training away from all our younger brothers and sisters. He said he's going to do that. You know, he said he's going to put the wall up to stop the influx of the immigrants from coming in this country. But I see the immigrants out there in California shooting our sick folks down left and right. And I don't hear the Democratic Party saying nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. There's parts of East L.A. you can't go and they will kill you on the spot.
In fact, from a gentrification standpoint, because usually you associate it with Caucasians moving in and displacing us in our neighborhoods. You got Chicanos, Latinos. In fact, they're taking over Compton. They're taking over
Everywhere.
Compton. Yeah. You know?
Right. Well, Florence and Normandy, where they had those riots.
Right.
I rode through there, brother. I would not get out my car.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't see none of us nowhere near there. So you talk about gentrification. That was gentrification to the utmost. And they and the brothers told me down there, oh, man, don't go there. Don't go to that section.
Right.
They will kill you.
Hey, yo, Oshie.
Hold on, Jay. How you doing, baby? You got my man. You got my main man,
yeah,
Ralph.
I wanted to say something to Ralph. That's why I butted in.
Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Yo, go ahead, brother Jay.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening, Ralph? Listen, I wanted to say something right quick to you in regards to what you were saying. Now, they had a cat call up on Carl Nelson's show last week. And he was talking about gentrification and how it was such a good thing and all of that. But the thing that they don't realize is it really, in the end, prices you out or forces you to sell your home because you can no longer pay the taxes. Because the taxes increase on such a high level that it just puts you under the rug. So
And Jay, let me tell you another thing. They give the so-called people that's coming in under the new owners, they give them a 10-year tax abatement, so they don't have to pay nothing while they're beating the daylights out of the people that live there. They call it a 10-year tax abatement where they don't have to pay taxes, property taxes, for 10 years. Our schools are going under. Everybody's going under. This, that, and the other, getting burdened with higher water bills, which they call a tax. They could take your home. So these are the parts of gentrification that our local politicians need to address and don't.
Well, you know, the issue is with everything that goes on in this society, nobody puts the total narrative out. It's just like what's going on with this whole tax, taxes, this whole situation with the tariffs. Nobody is putting forward the right narrative about how it hurts the consumer. You know what I mean? That's why this fool, Fredo, may get back in office again, because the media and nobody is putting forward the information.
I'll be honest. If it was between him and Biden, I would rather him getting there. That way at least our people know they got an enemy in there. You know?
I don't know about that.
Hold on, gentlemen.
I'm gonna hang up too. I'm gonna let the sister talk.
Yeah, I gotta run. Have a good day, y'all.
All right, y'all. Peace. Sister Queen. Queen, go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. Hotep to my brother. I just like to say that I'd like to speak upon the internal reparation. I had not heard that spoke upon in that vein before today. So I'd like to give homage to the African brother who passed it down to Brother Ken. Speak his name for me.
Brother Ken Bridges.
Brother Oshie, yeah. And the time that he spoke it.
Right, Brother Ken Bridges, and in conversation with Brother Dr. Conrad Worrell, a very good friend of mine, with Chairman Emeritus of the National Black United Front and Chairman Emeritus of the Dr. Jacob Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies in Chicago. And they came up with this idea and the concept of internal reparation, the repair that we must do ourselves in order for us to seek reparations justly and to use them wisely.
Yes, Brother Ken Bridges, and through you, he's passed that on through you. We have practiced, those of us who've been blessed to become consciously aware of who we are and where we are, have practiced internal reparation, but
That's
have
right.
not spoken it in that vein.
Right.
So I'd like to give homage to the brothers who have passed it on, Dr. Conrad Worrell and Dr. Jacob Carruthers, and now through Brother Ken Bridges, and now through you, Brother
Oshie.
And I think that every time we hear the ideology of reparations, we should also speak internal reparations to elevate the consciousness of those who are carrying on that struggle. We get so indulgent and sidetracked when we talk about this Caucasian entity, that we get sidetracked as to the repair work and the focus that we absolutely have to put upon ourselves. I get so side put when people talk about the damage in Puerto Rico, but do not mention the Virgin Islands. We have to turn our attention back to ourselves and keep it there. Thank you, Brother Oshie.
Right.
I always
thank you,
learn
sister.
So much.
Thank
I
you,
always
queen.
Learn so much. So when we speak again about reparations, external reparation and internal reparations, so that our people can say, oh, yeah, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brother Oshie.
Thank you, my sister.
Brother Conyers, who've always put before this decadent body
right.
the ideology of reparations.
And it's going to be discussed. They're having a discussion on the Hill. You got something to say, Brother Ralph?
Yeah, I do, Brother Oshie. I hear what the sister's saying. But when we talk about internal reparations, we're talking about from the individual himself. It has to come out
right.
himself.
Right.
That's why I always says, and the best reparations we can do to bring out an internal reparations or internal repair is to actually have a code of ethics within our own community, which we can teach the brothers and sisters right from wrong.
Yeah.
How to, because, you know, like I said, the Kim Jong-un, that was a very good point Elliot brought up. They always talk about how this man is a crazy person, this, that, and the other. But the man had traitors within his own family, and you see how he dealt with them.
That's right.
Because they would have brought harm to all
That's
people.
Right.
So when we talk about internal reparations, let's get this clear. It has to come from the individual themselves. It's to
well, how
be
do they
brought
get that?
Out.
How do they get that, may I ask? I just
told you, we need to set up a code of ethics within our community to teach our brothers and sisters right from wrong. That's about as basic and plain as possible.
And let me say this.
Now, well, it's deeper than just a intellectual code of ethics, because we have intellectual
codes. I'm talking about spiritual code.
Let me finish. What'd you say?
Okay, go ahead. I'm talking about a spiritual code also.
All right.
I'm talking about a spiritual code also.
Yes. Okay, we have to include our spiritual selves, because that's who we are, and that's where we come from. And if we leave our spiritual selves off, then we become, what's the word, a simulated.
Let me say this.
And that's what has happened.
Let me say this.
Thank you, yeah.
Let me say this. There have been...
I'm going to go back on mute, brothers.
Okay, brother. There have been a number of things that have been proposed from the ancient, the Ma'at, that's the guide, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, balance, order, the Nguza Saba, Umoja, unity, Kujitagalia, self-determination, Ujima, collective responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, Nia, purpose, Kumba, creativity, Imani, faith, and a variety of other presentations to us, African Pledge, that talks about how we should conduct ourselves with each other. I agree with Brother Ralph. I agree with you, Sister Queen. We must do that. The internal repair is our responsibility. It is ours. And not just a single individual, but it's the collective, because we are a collective people. We are a collective people. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire. But collectivism is an imperative. It is a must, because that's who we are. So understand, when we talk about reparations, the first thing that should come to our minds is, are we prepared to deal with them? Because I already told you about what's happening. So let me play this piece on reparations that it's out of, come out of YouTube, but I can't remember one of those things. But he's got a little Caucasian lady. She's talking about reparations. But I think it's very pointed. So let's check this out.
Reparations. It's a term you've likely heard before, but what does it mean? It's a type of compensation given to a group of people who've suffered abuse at the hands of a more powerful group. In the U.S., it's often talked about in terms of slavery. But slavery was so long ago, and some ask, why should Black Americans be compensated now? Well, proponents argue that the U.S. was built on the backs of slaves, and all our social institutions continue to reinforce rigid economic inequalities against Blacks. It's easy to see why. From slavery, white families got rich, bought land, and cemented legacies, while Black families were torn apart and kept in extreme poverty. From the dawn of America, the starting line for Blacks was far behind the white majority. The Emancipation Proclamation did little to end the racial stigma of being Black in America, and even less to ensure that ex-slaves could access the immense wealth that white America had accumulated off their labor. While all Americans of all backgrounds are deemed equal under the law, equality also means equal access to economic opportunity, health care, property, education, and justice. Black people have been systematically denied these things for the past 150 years. And not just by Jim Crow laws in the South. Every major American social institution has roots in slavery. The U.S. school system is still unequal and unofficially segregated. Teachers in minority schools make less money and are less likely to be certified. Black students are often at a disadvantage from day one, and fewer Black boys graduate from high school. 60% of people behind bars in the U.S. are people of color, and Black men are close to six times more likely than white men to go to prison. Housing discrimination continues as well. Thanks to old techniques like redlining, which deny home loans and insurance to people living in certain areas, and predatory lending, Blacks have been forced to live in low-income neighborhoods and denied the chance to own homes. Oh, and then there's life expectancy. Black men die on average 5 years earlier than white men. The infant mortality rate for Black babies is more than twice that of whites. Socioeconomic factors like diet, lifestyle, and lack of preventative care all come into play here. So you'd think all of this might make our nation's leaders want to have a discussion about reparations, but you'd be wrong. Congressman John Conyers Jr. has been introducing the same bill for 25 years, calling for a commission to discuss reparations. It's been shot down every time. And while there are many obstacles in the way of distributing reparations, it's not impossible. Take Germany, South Africa, and Chile, all countries that have given reparations to groups of people their governments mistreated. And even here in the U.S., reparations have happened. In 1988, the U.S. began the process of reparations for more than 100,000 surviving Japanese Americans that were placed in incarceration camps during World War II. Reparations don't have to be monetary. They can be commissions for collective healing, investment in underdeveloped neighborhoods, access to skills training, or even major legal reforms. There are, of course, many questions, like who would get compensated and what specific problems would be solved. Reparations don't right the wrongs of the past, nor are they a means by which the conditions of people who've been grossly abused are somehow magically fixed. But in a country where the government has yet to formally apologize for slavery, something that began 400 years ago, isn't it time to start talking about what can be done to heal those wounds?
Reparations. Bring on the reparations. Bring on the reparations. I tell you. You know, considering this is Juneteenth Day, and I, you know, there's some people who don't celebrate Juneteenth Day because we're still, just as Brother Ralph said, we're still in captivity. You know, some that I went to a celebration because I don't really celebrate Juneteenth Day either because, you know, it still deals with our relationship to the oppressor. By that I mean, look what he's constantly done, and we're constantly trying to, you know, be within this system. We're trying to have equality in a evil, unjust system that is based on and built on inequality. We keep trying to make these folks do right when it is not in them to do right. It is not their DNA. It is not their mindset to do right. I understand that some of us said that was the, you know, 2.5 more years later, we finally got the word, and now it's all over. The physical captivity of our people. What was worse is the mental captivity that followed. Because to take the chains off our ankles and wrists and to put them on our mind is more devastating. Because when you were in physical captivity, you knew what time it was. But now you have the illusion of inclusion, a perception that you are part of their reality. And see, just like the quote on the in the essay some of the Daily Revolutionary Thought of Malala Karinga, our liberation, our self-determination is not only impossible, it is unthinkable, because what we can't conceive we'll never achieve. It's the mind. So considering what they have done and messing up the minds of our people. That's why Brother Ralph is frustrated talking about a code of conduct. We got them. There's been that. Some have lived by it. Some observe it. But because we live in America, we live in America. America is about individualism. I don't give a damn about you and yours. I care about me and mine. So hell no, I don't give a damn about no damn code of conduct. Shit, however how I can get mine, I'm getting it. If my mama living too damn long and I know that I got that big insurance policy, hell, I might kill her. I want my money now. The Menendez brothers. Now, I don't even talk about them. I can't remember the family's name, but the two brothers, There were a brother and his wife. They tried to burn the house down. And they tried to plead for them. They really did. The family, the husband and wife, tried to plead for their two sons. But of course, that wouldn't go because of what they did, what they were trying to do. But that's the mentality. Selfishness, greediness. Individualism, materialism. What's more important? I got to have the latest stuff. The car, stereo equipment, clothes, where I live. That's what's most important. Here in Atlanta, we don't own one damn supermarket. And this city, so-called Mecca, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother Ralph. Menendez brothers. That's right. Did kill their parents. You know, we don't own one supermarket. Here in this city, it is the widest income disparity or widest economic disparity amongst our people. Because what you have here is a lot of folks who moved here because you can get land, build a home much more inexpensively than you could do in Los Angeles or on the West Coast or on the East Coast. So you could buy a beautiful place on a lake, put up a house. That whole situation might cost you $4-5 million. But on the East Coast, on the West Coast, it might cost you $10-20 million. So those people haven't been moving here. You know, the entertainment industry is heavy here. This is the Hollywood of the South, as they like to call it. Tyler Perry and his studio and whatever. So that income is huge. But yet we don't have nothing. We don't run. There's a few businesses here. We don't own a damn strip mall where everything in that mall is ours. Supermarket, convenience store. Restaurants, takeout restaurant, sit-down restaurant, clothing store, furniture store. All that we could do to provide goods and services for our young men and women, providing jobs that we could do. but because we're so fragmented, but because we're so damn divided. It's a shame, brothers and sisters. I agree with Brother Ralph. We do. But we have them. We have them. The problem is we're in America. The land of the dream. Do what you want. But we should think collectively. We should think independent of the bull that we have been fed. But it's hard. It's hard. And yet and still, because the other thing is we keep begging, we keep pleading, we keep hoping that these Caucasians will somehow get a damn epiphany and respect our humanity and see us as human beings and understand that what they have done is egregious and would give reparations to repair us to be full participants in the society. It ain't gonna happen. It hasn't happened. It ain't happening, and it ain't gonna happen. But yet and still, we keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. 400 years. 400 years. Our situation is worse. 400 years than damn near in captivity, particularly once we got out of it, because once we got out of it, we knew we had to band together. We created Rosewood, Boley, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Elaine, Arkansas, Allentown in California. And what happened to those places? What happened? That's right. The evilness and the mean-spiritedness and the selfish and greediness of Caucasians vamped on those communities and destroyed them. So as we talk about Juneteenth Day and we talk about reparations, I want us to clearly understand, at least of all, where I'm coming from as a Pan-Africanist, where I'm coming from as a brother who loves Africa and Africans in spite of all the foolishness, because I understand it. I don't blame us. I put the blame where it squarely belongs, on a system. I was in a discussion with a young man while I was in New Orleans. He was adamant about we can be racist. And I was trying to explain to him that we could not be racist. We could be mean-spirited. We could be hateful. We can be bigoted. But we couldn't be racist because we'd have no ability to deprive anybody of anything. The communities we call our own are not ours. I will never forget Denver NAACP meeting when I was the vice president of the NAACP Milwaukee chapter back in the day. Went to the Denver convention. Ronald Reagan was running for president. It was 1980. He spoke at the convention. Ben Civiletti was there. And I had just read an article. Ben Civiletti was Jimmy Carter's attorney general. But Jimmy Carter's national security advisor was the evil-looking, sinister-looking Zbigniew Brzezinski. Read that article saying, we will do everything that we can to prevent Africans on the continent and Africans here and out throughout the diaspora from coming together. We will do all that we can to prevent it. I posed that question to him in that workshop. Of course, he denied it. I don't care. But I got it out there. But one of the things that really hit me the most was the brother from Philadelphia on the convention floor, on the plenary floor, literally almost in tears, saying that he witnessed his community being taken over by people from outside his community. He said, I remember when we got the stores and the business from Jews, just like Milwaukee. And then we had them, and now Arabs, Palestinians, Koreans, everybody, Indians, outside of our community, coming in our community. And no longer did that brother say that. I'm going back to Milwaukee and I'm seeing the same damn thing. And when I was in charge of getting ads for the program journal, I went to some of these businesses and they flat out, and I'm saying, do you know how you get your damn money? By our community. So I stronged arm a couple and they took out a little measly ass ad, quarter page or something like that. But I was upset. And it has devastated. I was in Baltimore. I love Baltimore. In a strip mall with a friend of mine. She had to wash some clothes. And there's a place where you, a supermarket that's not ours, liquor store that is Korean. In fact, the place where you get food at and they weigh it, you know, I don't know. You know, you say, oh, I like that. And then you put a little bit more on. And okay, when you get your plate, then you go weigh it. And that's what you pay based upon the weight, not necessarily what you bought. You know, Koreans. Brothers and sisters, as we talk about the issues that affect African people, we have to always remember to put things in context, understanding what we are up against, understanding why we were put into this position. But more importantly, what are the things to do to get out? I agree with Brother Ralph. We must embrace the concepts of a code of ethics that has already been there. But more importantly, instill them in our everyday lives. That's what I have done. I'm serious about the Nguza Saba. I'm serious about my aunt. I'm serious about codes of conduct, African. I'm serious about those things. And so when I go in the community, I look for places where I can spend my money with each other. I look for having to say good words to one another. I believe in these things. I believe in African redemption, African reacclimation. I believe in that. I believe that we were once a great and mighty people, that people came from far and wide to sit at our feet. And now today, no one wants to even be in our vicinity. I believe in us. I trust us. For those who deserve to be trusted, because if you have shown you deserve no trust, you get none. Because we got a lot of agent provocateurs. We got a lot of people who would sell us out. Because why? America, the individual, individualism, materialism, greed. There was a program called Greed. The idea of the program, it was a game show. The idea of the game show, me and you against two other guys or two other people, we building up the bank and so forth. Next thing I know, you could take my money, all the money that we, by answering whatever question, whatever the hell it was, had accumulated, and take the money from me. Greed. Was that Gecko, Michael Douglas's character of the movie Wall Street? Greed, for lack of a better word, is good for America. Look at America. Look how selfish and greedy these son of a bitches are. They got a 1% of the people who make more money, have more wealth than 90% of the people. The disparity between Caucasians and us so damn wide, it would take over 230 years before there's any kind of economic equality. Over 230. That means that their wages and their income would be froze. And ours would be going up incrementally. I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, the only alternative, because we live in a society that is based upon individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. Greed and violence. These folks are, I don't know how passionately I could say it. I told you how their evolutionary development. And we can talk about we ain't got no Neanderthal DNA. And you're right. We don't, because we ain't Neanderthals, damn it. They were African. They had to change. Either you change or you die. Everything that lives wants to live, it has to change. It has to deal with the environment that it finds itself in. If that environment changes, if it doesn't adapt, it will die. And they adapted. And that adaptation caused them to be what you consider Neanderthal. But even deeper than that, I don't give a damn what you call them. I look at how they evolved and what they have become. Selfish, greedy, monstrous, hateful, mean-spirited, murderous. Everywhere the Caucasian has gone, look at the damn history. Disease. Bringing disease. Just like, I know you agree with this, Ralph. Let me bring you back up, man. Let me bring you back up, because I love Brother Ralph. Brother Ralph, you still with me?
Yes, I am, Brother Oshie. I'm with you.
Right on, brother. I know you like when them brothers were on that island, and remember that Caucasian who had the Bible?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They practice a code of ethics.
That's right.
What else is it?
That's
they
right.
Practice a code of ethics.
That's right. No outside visitors bringing them diseases in here that will kill us. You know? No, we don't want that bull that you bringing.
I mean, what else was it, brother?
That's right. That's what it was. Hey, Ralph. And they probably had somebody in the group saying, well, you know, we should let them come in. They might have something good to tell us, you know. And they probably killed his ass, too.
Yeah. Either killed him or killed him before it even got to
us. I'm him.
And you know what, Brother Oshie, those 24 confessions, yeah. I'm going to have to read them myself so I can remember them and internalize them and practice them.
Yeah.
That way it becomes part of who and what I am. That's the internal reparations that we need to work on. Each individual grabs
live by
the holds of teachings like that and man, and go for it. You know,
well, you know.
You even got some of these provocateurs now saying,
sure,
morality don't have nothing to do with nothing.
Right.
Now,
oh, no.
Come on.
No. Because in a system created by Europeans, they're immoral. They amoral. They have no morality within them. They have no conscience. Just like I was talking to a sister, and she was talking about our spirituality. I said, when Menelik in Ethiopia were confronted by these Caucasians, he realized we could pray all we want, but these people don't give a damn about your prayers. They are non-spiritual. They'll just kill you.
Nope.
So he said, bump that. We better get some guns. And got some guns and defended them, you know?
Well, look at what just happened out in Phoenix, man. A little child stole a dollar doll. And the cops came like they were trying to blow up the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So so if that don't give the average person a hint, first of all, that we ain't free.
Right. That's for sure.
You know, first of all, that we ain't free. And that second of all, what you're up against, man, look, we in trouble.
That's right.
We got to understand reality is staring us right in the face. There's no time to be laughing and joking. Yeah, I mean, you know, we all got to have some downtime. But, you know, these are serious times.
They are very serious, brother. These
May
are very
I say
ser-
something?
Sure, Sister Queen, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Of course we need a code. We have codes. We have always had codes. They've been forgotten, but we have revised them. My question now is, where and how do we go from here? And it's rhetorical, and we have to think about it, and we have to come up with our plan, our master plan, to say, okay, here's our answer. We know, those of us that do know. And we have to teach each one, reach one, and each one, teach one. That's how we've learned. So where do we go, and how do we do it, and why do we do it? And we get they cut the check today. A week from now, they'd have it all back. And I'd like for someone to say, thank you, Queen. I agree with you. I don't hear a lot of that from our soldiers. Thank you, brother.
Well, I agree with you, sister.
I do too.
Everything, each one teach one. But I believe in the power of example. We have to give our children, and that's who they're going after. Mm-hmm. We have to give our children the power of example.
That's right.
When we see our children out here, like, and I'm going to give you a perfect, it's something, but I remember a little young brother was on the corner, probably about 8, 9 years old, had a book bag on his, and he looked at me with a strange look. And I said, what's going on, brother? He said, mister, I am hungry. And that hurt me to my heart. Now, I know I'm not omniscient and all powerful, but that one person was right there for me to help them.
Right.
And I made sure I reached in my pocket and helped them. When I see our younger brothers and sisters out there with buckets, like, look at, and, you know, I see a lot of us ride right past it. And they're talking about they need it for a marching band or they need it for a football game or whatever. You know, I make sure. Yeah. I don't care if they're out there getting money to take home, to eat. I make sure I throw something in there.
Right.
Because they wouldn't be out there if they didn't need it.
I agree.
So, you know, it's the power of example.
Yeah.
And we have to show a certain amount of a word that we don't like to use, and that's called love for one's self.
Yeah.
If we have that, it can take us a long way. So I agree with you, sister. Each one teach one. Let's reach one. But there are some of us we're unable to reach, and we just got to wipe that
that's
off
right.
the cannon fire.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Looking for the next one.
Exactly.
So,
well, I appreciate
I'm
gonna
go back
it.
On
I appreciate it, Brother Ralph. I appreciate it, Sister Queen. If you got another comment, Queen, let me have it right quick because I'm about to close out. Okay. Listen, brothers and sisters, I appreciate this opportunity once again to come before our listening audience, wherever you are. And to be able to share information is vitally important. That's what we need. We need to be informed. We need information from our perspective, from an African-centered perspective. We need information from a Pan-African perspective. We need to come together, throw off the shackles off our minds, open our hearts, and begin to love one another, trust one another, respect one another, work with one another, build with one another. It's the bottom line. It's the only way. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, enjoy this day. Enjoy every day. But open your hearts and minds to be willing to work with one to do the things that are necessary to help one another. Shemhotep means go in peace. Isante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia, our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodia family, see you on Friday. My guest will be Black Pharaoh, Brother Emmanuel Kulu Jr., Black Pharaoh. Go to iblackpharaoh.com to check it out. Talk to you soon, family. Peace.